Yeah, you want to look at it.
Why would I be interested in that? Did you see this?
Hold on for a minute. World famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. What's the problem?
Why is he giving me...
I thought you want to see it.
Chlamydia gonorrhea rates up, syphilis steady.
Yes.
Why are you giving that to her?
I don't know. Thought maybe she'd be interested.
Why would I be interested? You know something? I know you don't want to start off like this, Phil, but I'm really itching to get a high heel into the eyeball.
Hold on for a minute now. Already I've got a... My throat is just... It's not... What a weekend. Don't start off with anything crazy. It's been a crazy weekend already. Do you understand?
I just saw a story about chlamydia.
And you hand it to me as if I tacked that stuff up on my refrigerator.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's only something a lady gonna know.
Oh, is that right? Only something a lady gonna know? Syphilis is...
Yeah, but your husband...
Phil...
All right, just take it easy, will you guys? Don't be handing her stories about syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea.
So you think... What do you think I do? You think I walk down... I walk to my house with that stuff, and I stick it on a bulletin board, and I go, oh, look, here's all my syphilis news for the...
Take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
You take it easy.
You take... Shut up! Anyway, my throat is... I'm fine. I feel fine. I look probably okay, but for some reason I had a little bit of phlegm there in my throat. Meanwhile, you idiots have got to start things off once again. It never changes.
Well, I thought maybe I've seen that story.
Why would you want it? Why is she interested in the story about syphilis and chlamydia? And forget about whether Frank's got gonorrhea that isn't treated, and that's what gives him his gender confusion. Do me a favor. When I'm starting the show, you guys don't, in the middle of me starting the show, start passing news stories back and forth.
Well, why aren't you talking? You're looking at me while you're saying that.
Because, Margaret, what are you going to get upset for? I'm in the middle of beginning the show. Can you keep your outrage to a minimum until we get to a break?
What would you do if in the middle of the beginning of your show, Phil...
Margaret.
Hold on. I have the floor now, if you don't mind. What would you do if in the middle of the beginning of your show, I handed you a story just as you were beginning your show... I handed you a story on micropenis.
Yeah, that's probably...
Yeah?
Capiche?
I would care less. I could care less.
You could care less if I handed you a story on penile implants.
That probably... Would you be offended by that, Mr. Henry, and feel all bad about it?
No, I wouldn't. Because I can see the way you guys are smiling.
I don't think you're being honest.
I don't really care, and I'm not going to have this discussion. I got to get the show going here. Welcome, folks. Thank you for joining us here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What if in the beginning of me starting the show, you...
Spit it out, Porky.
In the beginning of the show, you hand me a story about penile implants. I don't care. What I'm trying to say to everybody here is wait until the show gets going. Wait until we get to a break. We can organize our news then. You guys are idiots. This whole thing is a cluster. You know what? Thank you. All right. Welcome to our program, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and also a couple of things to report. First off, the Milwaukee Lion game is postponed until tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central. Apparently the field at Duckworth Memorial was soggy, it was frost, it had snow, it's all messed up, man. They didn't put a tarp on it, something, so the field had to be reconditioned. The game goes off tomorrow night at 6. It'll be on Phil TV in HD, the audio from Wang Radio. That's number one. Number two, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can get this month and this month only free CD best of downloads. If you sign up for a backstage pass, 1 month gets you one free CD best of download. Six-month subscription gets you three. And a 1 year gets you five free best of CD downloads at the Phil Hendry Show shop. Join us on Twitter, too, at twitter.com/realphilhendry and on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendryfans. Okay, what?
This is a story about chlamydia and then another one here about...
Yeah, this guy died.
Oh, this guy died, huh? This guy.
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you.
They don't know.
This was a great man. This is Daniel Inouye.
What did he do?
He was a United States Senator and a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And Daniel Inouye passed on at the age of 88. He was at the Gothic Line in Italy. He was with the Go for Broke Division. I think he was with the famous Go for Broke Division, which was made up of Japanese-American soldiers, Nisei, as they were known.
What's that?
Nisei were first-generation American, Japanese-Americans. They were born here, but their parents were from Japan. And they were, in every sense of the word, Americans. And the military finally lifted the ban on Japanese-American soldiers enlisting. And as soon as they did, Japanese-Americans, like any other patriotic American, they wanted a part of the fight. They wanted to get into this thing, and they enlisted. The military didn't send them to the Pacific. The military instead sent them to... what, bud?
Well, they didn't send them to the Pacific because they're afraid they'd be traitors.
No, they weren't afraid they were going to be traitors, necessarily. I don't know. It was the mindset at the time.
Well, they thought they were going to... Didn't they think that our Marines would get frightened of them and shoot them?
What?
Yeah, if you see a Japanese guy.
And then afraid the Marines were going to look at another Marine who's a Japanese-American and shoot the guy?
Well, this was the 40s, Phil. People were very... It was a very strange time. You had all that boogie-woogie... I don't know.
All that boogie-woogie what?
There was a lot of frenetic thinking. There was a lot of ridiculous... Have you ever seen the films from then?
Yeah.
Well, you see how ridiculous the people were. And their approach to war was ridiculous.
Well, thank God for their approach to war, Margaret.
I'm not saying they weren't heroes.
Yeah, they're just their approach to war was ridiculous, huh?
Well, why did they have to wait to let the Japanese enlist?
Because we were fighting Japanese.
She means Japanese-Americans.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Because they were backward in some ways. In any event, I don't want to talk about this right now. I want to just pay all due homage to Daniel Inouye, who was he passed on from a respiratory complication on Monday night, this very evening, in Washington, D.C., I think. Bob Dole, who was a member of the opposite party, Robert Dole, a Republican, Daniel Inouye, a Democrat, remembered his friend Daniel Inouye as a man who consistently demonstrated his honesty and his integrity. Now, these two guys fought in the same theater of war, Italy. Both men suffered devastating wounds. In the case of Senator Dole, it's evidenced by the obvious injury and noted paralysis to the, I believe it's his left arm. And in the case of Senator Inouye...
There ain't no arm.
There ain't no...
You get...
Have some respect.
Well, there ain't no arm.
Yes, I understand. You can say something better than that.
The arm's missing.
Senator Inouye lost his arm in battle. I'm going to belt you so hard, bud, that you're going to turn into Robert.
What?
That's right. Think about it.
I don't want to think about that.
Well, then stop running your fat yap. Dole, a Republican, has said Inouye, a Democrat, was the best bridge player in the hospital. They both wound up in the same hospital when they came back from Europe. And there they were on this medical ward, on this ward in a hospital, a military hospital in Michigan. And they formed a, quote, bipartisan friendship that lasted for decades. He said that Inouye was the best bridge player in the hospital. Quoting Senator Dole again, Danny and I saw service in World War II where he lost his arm and where I had other difficulties. When we left the hospital, we eventually became United States senators, and he was always telling his friends that I talked him into it. I don't recall it, but if Danny said it was true, that was good enough for me, Dole said in a statement Monday evening. Recalling their days together in the Senate, Dole said, although the two belonged to different parties, Inouye treated everyone fairly, and never once did I recall him being critical of another colleague. Republican or Democrat, Senator Inouye was one of the Senate's giants. He believed in civility and compromise when necessary and was a good friend, quoting Robert Dole. Dole has said his own health problems, has had his own health problems and was recently discharged from Walter Reed Army Hospital. Inouye joined the Senate in 1963, 2 years in Dole's first term. Dole retired from the body in 1996. So there is Daniel Inouye. And I have one very vivid memory of Daniel Inouye when he was on the Watergate committee, and somebody called him, quote, that little Jap.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It was one of the people that they were interrogating or that they were questioning, and he was he wasn't a very likable guy. And he didn't like Senator Inouye's questions. And why would you if you were part of that gang that was bugging the Watergate and everything else? And he, over an open mic, I believe, was heard to say, "Who's that little Jap?" And that got everybody. Let me put it to you this way. It didn't win that guy any friends at all. All right, we're going to come back here with more on the day's news. And there's a lot of it, guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our one-man show that's coming up in the spring. We have a new podcast that I announced to my Backstage Pass members before the broadcast started. And we will reference a little of what is going on because it's very exciting. Big names, big stars, big stuff. It's all coming up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dang, golly, buddy. Bet you're going to be sick.
Well, I ain't sick. We don't have any guest?
I'll call him up if you want.
Never mind. It's just one of those weekends where, why do you think I was going to be sick?
You eating all that Reese's Pieces.
You said that when you eat Reese's Pieces, you feel mentally unfit.
Mentally unfit? No, I just said that I get a sugar rush. What happened was, I binge on chocolate and candy if I binge on anything. I don't have any kind of a liquor problem or a,
You said liquor.
Yeah, what about it?
Ain't that like FCC?
No, that ain't FCC. LIQUOR.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know.
Yes, you do, you idiot. Ain't that the FCC? Liquor, as in booze. I should have said booze, okay?
You say beer.
Beer is not liquor.
What is it?
It's beer. Liquor is more distilled spirits and stuff like that. You know, like whiskey and gin and stuff like that. All right, so anyway, I don't have any problem like that. I don't have a drug problem. I don't have a gambling problem. I don't have any of these other... The problem I got is if I get a bag of Reese's Pieces, that's the end of me, man. I'll eat so much sugar that I get bipolar.
Well, that's just as dangerous, don't you think?
No, it's not. I'm exaggerating. So anyway, make a long story short, it was just one of those weekends of... I'm sure a lot of people were in the same boat. This past weekend was pretty stressful for a lot of people, and...
Why?
I'm not going to get into it, bud. I'm going to belt you if you open your mouth again. Like I said last week, we're not going to get into pick over a story that's already been picked over and argued about and yak, 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 blah, 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 blah. Here, you want me to say something about it? I'll say this. Little children, little kindergartners, I agree with the president. When he said we got to do something, you can't sit on your dead ass and do nothing when little tiny kids... Now, it's a whole new ballgame now, and that doesn't mean that I want to throw all the guns in the ocean. But I'll tell you this much. If we've got little kids that are getting murdered by the, you know, 20 score and more, if you've got children, and I'm a guy on this show, I'm in as clear as hell about right to bear arms. I've been a huge supporter. Not a problem. And I study the issue. And not only that, I'm not so stupid like a lot of pro-gun people that I don't know what Obama's position is, okay? I'm telling you, a word to the wise, the NRA, one of the problems that you guys have got is that you've got too many stupid idiots speaking on your behalf. If you articulated your position more clearly and told your membership, or they're probably not even members, they're just idiots. Like this one guy I saw, this is 4 years into Obama's presidency, and what did I read? Some guy made this comment, just how many rights is Obama going to take away from us? 4 years in, pal, I think you're still there with your gun, you know, admiring yourself in the mirror. What are you talking about? Get freaking real, pull your head out of your ass, and if there's anybody out there that is not really engaging in this thing seriously, tell them to get lost. Might even take a look at them and their gun. I'll tell you, I'm serious, you know. I think people ought to be able to own guns. I don't think that mental patients should. There's my stand on guns. How's that? Is that okay?
Well, people are going to say, Phil, of course I agree with you, but I go much further. But people are going to say, well, then, how do you identify who the mental patients are?
I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know, other than to say that if it takes a database, and I don't give a damn, you know, the days of people making this argument, which is the following argument, you know, our freedoms are being chipped away at. Well, what are you talking about, your freedoms are being chipped? What do you mean by that, your freedoms are being chipped away? What we're trying to do is deal with the reality of life as opposed to your fantasy and what you think it was like back when everybody wore three-cornered hats and rode horses. You can quote Thomas Jefferson all you want, but if you don't know anything about Thomas Jefferson, like our good close personal friend Jesse the Body and Mental Midget Ventura, an idiot that was quoting, he thought, Thomas Jefferson, only to find out that Thomas Jefferson never said the very thing that Jesse the Mental Midget Ventura was saying. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This guy used to be a United States, he was the governor of a state. And this idiot was quoting Thomas Jefferson. He thought, we find out that the quote...
What quote was it?
It was some quote that was often used about, I'll misstate it, then people will jump all over me, but I can tell you it was something he never said. And I pointed that out to the governor, and he just, you know, him being an unbelievable megalomaniac, he hung the phone up rather than be wrong. So, you know, what did our founding fathers intend? I'll tell you what our founding fathers intended. I happen to know a little something about this because I've studied the question. Our founding fathers did indeed believe that future societies were going to be different. Future societies are going to be different. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out. They knew that. And while they never used the word elastic when it came to the Constitution, that's a word that was used by later jurists. The point is that what they wanted was a charter for this country that future generations and societies, American societies, could use. They didn't want something that was going to be outdated in short order. Jefferson made the argument, why write one at all? Who were we to tell the people of future generations how to think, what to think, and who to be? It's not our right. It's not. And he was essentially, you know, debated on the point with others saying, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to just, like, not have any kind of legal charter for this country and just let it be a sort of a continuing wave of anarchy until people get it settled generation after generation? What are you, nuts? Why don't you go back to your books and your bugs and go back to the mansion there and have Sally make you some tea there, Tom?
Well, gentlemen, I'm just trying to see. Yeah, that's great. You wrote a fantastic Declaration of Independence. You're a great guy. Bug off. And when I say bug off, I mean it as in those bugs you got stuck under pins. Well, I've never in my whole life.
Do you think that's how he talked?
I don't know.
I bet you did. He probably sounded just like that.
Thomas Jefferson, he from the South?
Yes, he was from the South. He's from Virginia.
Do you think they talk like that, Ben?
I don't know. Maybe. Point being that, so here we are now, we are 200 plus years after the fact, we got a constitution, and we've got a country, and we've got children that are being gunned down, and we got a Second Amendment. So how do we make the Second Amendment work and at the same time protect little infants, babies, from being butchered alive? Anybody got any ideas on that one? Because I got news for you. Even this guy here, Phil Hendry, even this guy here, a gun rights advocate, I won't sit still for that. I don't give a good sweet Jesus what the NRA thinks. I don't care. See, this event has gotten even guys like me pissed off, and it should have everybody pissed. Even the most staunch gun rights guy should have some answer. Don't give me this bullcrap about, well, yeah, it's really unfortunate. I think we need just tougher laws against these criminals. Let me tell you something, man. Short of torture, which in and of itself would be a violation of the constitutional rights of the individual, what are you going to do? You want to take the guy, any guy that does something like that, if you can catch him alive, and that's a big if, and torture him in front of everybody. Crucify him. Have him hanging from, you know, This is what'll happen to you if you. That's where you guys. That's the road you guys are going down here with this whole thing about, you know, we need to have tougher laws on the books. How much tougher do you want the laws to be?
You said you weren't going to talk at all about.
I'm talking about it. Been biting my tongue long enough.
Let me see.
Get out of. Put your hand on my tongue.
Said you were biting it.
Well, he don't get the look if I was. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Celebrity hacker gets 10 years prison for email hack. And a mother who they call the anarchist soccer mom. What's that all about? We'll find out in the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo!
Phil Hendry.
Yep, you bit it.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And our good friend Dan Northcraft is back from the Lamb of God concert on Friday night. It is Monday. It's three whole days. Bud Dickman, what is your report?
Yeah, right now, Dan Northcraft, he can't even be understood.
Well, he's got a bad throat.
You asked me to say it.
Let him do it.
Well, what's... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
what's wrong?
Well, she's putting me down.
Oh, what a baby. His throat is blown out because he was screeching and screaming like he was a 14-year-old girl at a Beatles concert.
No, he wasn't. He was having a good time yelling and screaming at a heavy metal concert, okay? Or what have you. I don't know what it is. Do you know this band, Bud?
I've not yet now heard of them, but I will.
Yeah, I think I know that they're like thrash metal. And, they do a lot of it's a lot of devil.
Yeah, it's a lot of devil stuff.
Get out of here, devil stuff. In any event, Dan was, he went to the local armory there. And I got to tell you something, there isn't anything more American than going to a rock show at an armory. That's where they started, and that's where they're going to end.
Well, what do you mean, end?
I'm just being, you know, I'm joking around, but... fact is, the earliest of everything started at... If we didn't have armories, we wouldn't have the professional basketball. You know that most of the NBA games at one time or another were played in armories. You know, someplace, some city, they didn't have an arena. They didn't have a place for the basketball teams to play. But they had an armory. As I mentioned last week, the Lakers started out in an armory in Minneapolis.
Where do the Lakers play? They come out here.
Well, it's an interesting thing. If you look at any of the big cities... With the exception possibly of New York and Boston and some places that have had these large indoor sporting arenas or sports arenas, New York has always had Madison Square Garden. I mean, it seems like they've always had it. They've had Madison Square Garden for decades. Boston, the same with Boston Garden. And there have been from time to time these entities, these physical structures and presences in large cities. But Los Angeles is a good example. When the Lakers came out here, they played at a place called the Penn. You got to be an old timer to remember this. I remember going there as a little tiny kid with my dad for the car shows they used to have there. The Pan Pacific Auditorium.
Oh, my God.
You remember it?
No.
I don't think...
Well, then what are you going, oh, my God, for?
Well, it sounds like... It sounds interesting. Do you want to get Frank on the phone?
No, give Frank a rest tonight, okay?
What's that mean?
Let's just give him and his gender confusion. Now, I don't need to be listening to Frank with the he-she.
What does the he-she mean? Are you talking about...
Talking about tranny?
A what?
You talking about Frank... What's Frank got to do with tranny?
I didn't say anything about trannies.
Well, then please don't use the term he-she.
I didn't say anything about Frank and trannies. Do you understand?
Then why did you say the he-she?
Because Frank's always mixing up genders.
Well, it's called gender confusion, Phil. You don't have to say he, she, as if Frank is sitting there in a suit and a tie with $20 bills, just he's peeling them off for some beautiful woman that happens to have a penis. You know something? You're all going to laugh, but...
You going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am.
Margaret, I mean, what's the problem?
Well, I just think it's wrong of you to intimate that.
I didn't intimate a thing.
Well, you intimated that Frank is sitting there with a gin and tonic or a scotch on the rocks peeling off 20s for a gorgeous woman that happens to have testicles.
No, I did not. You said all of that.
You did, Margaret.
No one asked you.
Go to the bathroom. Some guy today on Facebook said I challenged Margaret not to go to the can once.
I guess he loses. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, you snooze, you lose is right. Sorry, sir. I think it was a very good... I think it was well-intentioned. Pan Pacific Auditorium was a place... No, I don't. Frank, if you're listening, you're a good guy. Let's just give you a rest tonight. That's all I'm saying. Frank, he doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you have no about a he-she.
Don't use that term.
I heard that.
See? He's there in a suit, peeling off 20s with a scotch on the rocks, some gorgeous woman with testicles.
And you're laughing.
Yes, I'm laughing. Why wouldn't I laugh? Okay. So as I was saying, before I was so rudely interrupted, yeah, they played at the Pan Pacific Auditorium, man. It was literally an auditorium. And I believe in other cities, in Miami Convention Center, the Miami Auditorium. Miami, what the hell was that thing? What was the name of that place that, I don't remember, but Jackie Gleason on his show when I was a kid, he used to have that show, From Miami Beach, and they had the Miami something.
The Miami what?
Well, you guys wouldn't know, you're too young, but Margaret, do you remember?
Remember what?
Jackie Gleason, never mind.
You told me I shouldn't talk when I'm in the can.
Right. So anyway, these were the places that, you know, that existed before we had these major arenas. And so armories, that's one more in the list of, well, where can we go to have a, you know, some kind of a show? I mean, instead of like flower shows, car shows, you know, at armories.
Well, what's an armory anyway?
You know, that's a good question, but I guess it's a place that stored ammunition.
You tell me, man, they had places that were so big that you'd have an NBA game in it. Car show, rock and roll show, flower show, but its real purpose is to store ammo?
Yes. That's, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so car show, flower show, or ammo, come on down to the Medford Armory.
Exactly. That's probably what they should say there in Medford. Car show, ammo, no problem. We do them both.
Funny.
Anyway, so that was our good friend Dan, and he blew his throat out there at the show. It's nice to know, and I'll tell you one thing. It's nice to know that a man in the full maturity of his years, I'm joking around, Dan. No, but seriously, I went to the last show that I remember doing physical damage to myself. Now, I could be wrong. I've been to a lot of shows. I've been to a lot of rock shows. I've been to lots and lots of different kinds of shows. Particularly music, and particularly when I was younger. As I got older and I got more mature and I became wealthier and more, conscious of my social standing, I would not go to any more rock shows unless I was assured a good seat and cocaine. Now then.
Kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. So anyway, the point that I'm making is this. The last show I went to where I believe I did physical damage to myself was a ZZ Top show. And it was at the old forum in Inglewood. And the show was so loud that my ears rang for a good 4 days. They rang for such a long period of time, I thought that I was in big trouble.
I'm back.
Yes, I can see that. What are you carrying, toilet paper in your purse?
Bring a toilet paper in.
Bud said to bring some paper in from home because he didn't know if we had enough. What are you staring at? Boy, you looked at me as if I was the ghoul. You looked at me as if I was a ghoul in a Mario Bavo film.
Mario Bavo?
Yes. Vampire Planet?
I know him, I think. Anyway, went to the ZZ Top show, and my ears rang for so many days afterwards that I was frightened that I'd done some damage.
What happened?
Well, I mean, the music was so loud, you know, that I had that tinnitus, or whatever they call it, tinnitus, where...
What is that?
Your ears are just like you can hear... You ever had that?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
What about you guys?
I know that I've had... I don't think I ever heard a... Is that what it goes?
Yeah, no, it goes like this. If you have tinnitus, like you were saying, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
It goes, wee, something like, yeah, like he's singing.
I've never had that.
You've never had loud. In other words, you've heard loud things, right?
Oh yeah.
You've been to. I know you went and saw Avenged Sevenfold, right?
Yeah, I've seen Avenged Sevenfold probably about, well, seven times, I think.
Sevenfold time.
No.
Seven times you've seen Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, that's the limit.
What's that mean, that's the limit?
He thinks that if he sees them more than seven times, that there's... It's bad, you know.
Bad what?
Bad what?
It's just... It's against God.
It's against God if you go and see Avenged Sevenfold more than seven times.
Yeah, on account of what the Bible says.
Why'd you go and see them once?
Because I like their music.
Boy, there's something wrong with you, man.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
There's got to be something really wrong with you.
Yeah, I try to tell him it doesn't make any difference.
I'm just saying.
You ain't saying nothing. You're weird, man. Bud, promise me that you will never pick up a shotgun and try to blow your head off to be with Kurt Cobain or anything like that. Because knowing you, you'd probably miss and wind up like that one guy that had the face pinched in.
That guy? You mean Arseface?
Get out of here with Arseface. I only went to see them seven times because any time more than that, it would be against God?
It would be, yeah, no, it would be, God would not like it.
You must be out of your mind. I'm going to send you to a psychiatrist. I'm telling you right now, on my dime, I'm sending you to a head shrinker.
Why? There's nothing wrong with me.
Don't cry. There's some kind of thing going on with you, man. Was your mother religious?
Yeah, I think that's it.
My mom, yeah, we went to church.
Yeah, you went to church. Okay, but I'm wondering, was it a pathological thing? You know?
I don't know what that means.
I think you're onto something. I think, Bud, did your mother ever flay you on, and I hate... Did you ever have to drop your pants?
Yeah.
Right there.
When I went to the bathroom.
Right there?
I didn't mean that. I mean, were you ever flayed openly on the buttock? Or on both? Which would be the buttocks?
I don't know.
Never mind, okay?
I'm trying to find out whether his mother's nuts.
I love my mother, but yeah, she's nuts.
Bud, we're getting into some weird stuff. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want you to go in and get evaluated by my man down here in Century City.
Not that guy. He puts electrodes on your head.
He puts electrodes on your head. No, he doesn't. All right, anyway, folks, we started out talking about armories, and now I got Bud worried about electroshock. All right. Beautiful thing. So the end of the story is this. This is all I want to say, and then I'm going to just conclude it. We started out, actually, because Dan went to the armory. I think we've wrapped this up, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. You still want to do that?
I don't want to talk about the poor little babies. I said what I want to say. I'm not going to turn this radio show into, you know, and I'll tell you something else. I don't want to keep bagging on the radio industry. You know, it's been my living for 40 years. I see it making mistakes. I see it going right straight down the toilet. What, do you want me to not say something? Where do you think I was today? I was over at LEG. I was over at Molotov. I was with my podcasting partners. Why? Because those guys are out doing business. They're out doing business. Think I'm hanging around with radio guys? Everybody that I know in radio, the guys that have radio shows, are doing exactly what I'm doing. They're out and they're talking to guys that can make them some money. So, and I say all of that to say the following thing. We had something happen this past week and last week that was so unacceptable that even pro-gun rights advocates like Phil Hendry here, I'm not saying ban guns. I'm not saying that. And even the people that are in favor of gun control are not saying ban guns. I just had a conversation today with one of, you could say, she's an extremely prominent Hollywood liberal. And even she...
Talk about...
Don't say anybody's name or I'll clock you. Because I'm going to roll that out when we get ready to roll out the Bobby Dooley podcast. But the point that I'm trying to make here is... Even she said, I know that we're not going to ban guns. I'm not even asking to ban guns. But we've got to have some answers here on how we can protect. We're talking about protecting little babies, for God's sake. Now, there's got to be a way. And if the NRA is, quote-unquote, mum on the issue, I don't think you're showing responsibility. I don't think you're showing any citizenship. I don't think you're showing anything other than what a lot of people see you as being, this sort of hermetically sealed, contained, enfortressed entity that, as long as your gun rights are cool, you don't give a damn what happens to the rest of the country. And that you, I know that's not who you are. I know that's not who your membership is. I know that's not what you guys represent. But that's the picture that you're giving people. So start coming up with some answers. I'll try to come up with some answers. But one place I ain't going to do it is on this radio show. And talk radio makes me absolutely want to vomit through both nostrils and maybe one ear.
That'd be a trick.
Yes, it would. When I listen to them going on and on and on about this, because it's been a gun control debate for 3 days, and you're making me sick to my stomach. So please, would you stop? Thank you.
And I'm sure they'll listen to you.
Of course. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Let's talk about, we've already talked about Dan. We've talked about Avenged Sevenfold and vomit coming out of my ear. How about where was that story, man? Where's the story on we'll get it. The soccer mom, China is cracking down on a doomsday group. I can't wait for this one. We'll talk about that too. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, I'm not kidding. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was talking to Dan about music because, you know, we were continuing the discussion. And we were talking about venues, you know, because he'd been to the Armory. I said, you know, there are some venues. And I said, Dan, do you remember the old festival seating? And festival seating was when there was grass and you could just go out and you could, you know, whatever. You could sit on the grassy hillside and you could, you know, listen to the show. And he was talking about some venues like the Meadows and in Austin. And we got to talking about Austin 6th Street. I was in Austin, Texas with Westwood One when Foreigner was touring there in the 80s. And they were touring the country, but there were two shows that Westwood One was going to... There was one show they were going to record for their a concert series they did called Superstars, and they're going to do the Dallas show. But as a warm-up, as a way of making sure that we had, you know, the equipment right and everything, they did Austin, Texas. And there I was in the hotel in Austin with the band, and I told a joke.
No, not the golf course joke.
I told a really dirty joke, and the band just looked at me like, wow, you know, and so I left, and I realized that my humor does not sit well with Foreigner.
Yeah, well, that humor not going to sit well with anybody.
I know. I mean, that's what you're saying, but to make myself feel less of a dork.
So where did you go? So the band kicked you out of where?
Well, they didn't kick me out. I just left. But anyway, I just split. Then I went down to 6th Street and got hammered. So that's my memory of Austin, Texas.
Well, if it hadn't been for Foreigner throwing you out of that hotel.
Right. I never would have gone to 6th Street. You're absolutely right. But then we went to Dallas, and that was fun because they had a Baptist convention in the hotel that we stayed in. It was near Reunion Arena, which is where this concert was being held. It was at the Hyatt Reunion was the name of the hotel. It's right next to the Reunion Arena in Dallas. I don't know whether that's still there or not. Probably not.
Well, if it was the 80s, they've probably torn it down.
Yeah, they bulldozed down all those dumps.
All those dumps? I mean...
Well, I meant old places, you know. Yeah, they bulldozed the old dumps down, except in L.A. where they still got a sports arena.
The L.A. sports arena is still around? I thought they bulldozed that place, too. Anyway, make a long story short, I went to the... So there we are at the Dallas Reunion Hyatt Hotel, and in the hotel, there are two groups of people. There are two groups of people, two main groups of people are staying in the hotel on this particular weekend. One is the Southern Baptist Convention, and the other is the Foreigner road crew and production people. And one night, they all meet in the bar in the hotel. Now, how do I know? Because I was there. I'm not saying that Baptists drink heavily. I don't know that there is a prohibition against drinking, but there were some folks there in the bar, and they were playing at the piano. They were playing some spirituals.
Was this the one where they were playing Can We Gather at the River?
Yes, the lady was there, and Can We Gather at the River? She was playing this at the piano, you know.
Were they drunk?
They didn't seem roaring drunk. No, they were having a beer, whatever the hell you have. I don't know. And
what about the foreigner people? They must have been... Were they doing drugs? Or were they doing narcotics? I want some information, Phil. You're very circumspect.
Can you stop with that?
Don't give me that, Phil. You're with a rock band. A rock band.
No, there wasn't any narcotics.
Well, I find that...
That's really nice, Margaret. If I ever do get to talk to Foreigner again, which I doubt, I'll let him know what you said.
Oh, don't be a baby. This is a major rock group, and they're British, and that's heroin.
Of course.
Phil, I know a little.
All right, now I'm up against the end of the hour.
Not my fault.
We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show, with more on whether there was heroin at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, yeah, that's not what you said.
I mean, you know what I mean. We'll be right back.
Can we gather at the river? Do you want me to? I can sing that later on.
Yes.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we thank you for joining us. I am Phil Henry, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us, and we're just sort of feeling our way, if you'll pardon the expression, into the week, you know.
Well, what do you mean... I appreciate you saying that. You're a gentleman, but when you said, pardon the expression.
You just didn't want to make it sound like you're getting felled up.
I know that, and I appreciate that.
You appreciate that. That's even weirder than me having to say, pardon the expression.
Why?
Because there should be no problem with me saying we're feeling our way into this week. I shouldn't have to sit here and sweat out whether you think it's sexist.
There are people that would take it that way, Phil, so I thank you for saying, pardon the expression, when you talk about groping your way into what... Why is that difficult?
Didn't say grope!
He said feel, and I heard the way he said it.
I didn't say it in any weird way, so...
Well, I think you did.
Well, no, I did not.
Didn't say as we grope our way.
It sounded like it, when you said as we feel, and there was an oiliness about it, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so anyway...
Phil, don't roll your eyes like you're dealing with an imbecile. I heard you. You wanted to say as we probe and grope.
Yeah, but he didn't, and that's the bottom line. He was a gentleman enough not to go with his instinct and say as we grope it.
You know, you people really need some help.
I don't like you people. It sounds racist.
Really? It sounds racist against who?
Blacks.
You're not black.
But it makes me feel as if I... Well,
as if you are black? Oh, man.
Phil, just do your show. I'm here to be a commentator. I'm commentating. I'm not sitting and hosting. I'm commentating on what it is.
What it is.
Okay, so that's great. Thank you very much. Anyway, welcome to the show. You'll notice here on Phil TV at HD, we have the story. Michael Douglas' son Cameron reportedly beaten badly in prison. This is a very quick story here on Cameron Douglas. He was reportedly beaten in a Pennsylvania prison, winding up with a broken finger and a broken leg. Cameron Douglas, 34, suffered the injuries, including a broken femur. A broken femur, that's the big bone there in your thigh. After a New York City crime boss put a $100 bounty on his head during the Prison Flag Football League season because he was a, quote, rat, a prison source told the New York Post. Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't believe that?
No, it could be true, and it could be a load. How do they know? What do you mean a prison source told the New York Post that he's a rat and it was $100 on a flag foot? Get out of here.
Yeah, but you don't know. Maybe it's true.
Maybe. Anyway, I just that stuff like that I look askance at. After the younger Douglas reportedly dropped out of the league where he was targeted, he nonetheless turned up badly injured. The actor's son blamed his injuries on a handball game, and the doctor's aide reportedly misdiagnosed the break as a sprain at first. But according to the source, you don't break a femur playing handball. He's still walking around on crutches 2 months later. Oh, I see. So the source is having to deduce the deducements.
Yeah, the deducement.
Not deducements, the
deduction.
Deductions.
That's for money. I thought it was...
It's not deducements. So anyway, that's the story of that poor kid, Cameron. You know, what are you going to do, man? You're in jail. This kid was convicted of distributing crystal meth. Then they added another few years to the sentence because he was convicted of drug possession in prison, which is stupid as can be. So he's not too bright, and he's a drug addict. And did Michael Douglas make that movie Traffic, which, by the way, was I thought he made that movie in part as a way of getting the message out about drug addiction and trafficking because of his son. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's a hell of a great movie. You should see it, Traffic. Benicio del Toro got a Academy Award for it. That's how good. He plays a Mexican police officer who is honest. And it's a great performance by him because he's this honest Tijuana Federale, who's in the middle of all of this police corruption in Mexico and also having to deal with the drug trafficking that's going on between the two countries that is primarily, in this case, for purposes of the film and probably very true in real life, primarily is going through places like Tijuana and other border towns. And here you have the Mexican government dealing with it in their way, which is it not always honest. Sometimes it's corrupt. They use police torture. They do terrible things. On the other end of the stick, you've got these American junkies and these hard-charging DEA guys that want to, win the accolades of their public. And in the middle of this is this poor cop who's a Mexican cop, doesn't make a lot of money, won't take payoffs, won't take graft, and it's a very touching story, I guess, because they ask him, finally, the American authorities draft him, if you will, into an operation where they're going to run a sting along with the Mexican government on these corrupt Mexican officials that are enabling this drug trafficking. And they are able to induce this cop, played by Benicio del Toro, into the plan. But even as he agrees to it, they ask him how he feels. He says, "I feel like a traitor," because he's giving up people in his own country to the American side. But they ask him eventually, "What is it that you want?" And all this cop wants, as he gets up every morning and he looks down onto this vacant lot across from his apartment, all he wants is to see a baseball diamond. He wants to build a baseball field. I realize it sounds very sugar and spice and everything nice, but I thought it was a very cool view of life through the eyes of a non-traditional character, which would be a Mexican police officer who, oh yeah, on top of everything else, is honest, but he's caught between loyalty to his own country and his own government and his desire to clean up the streets, and he realizes that the police that he's working with are part of the problem. So
And this is called what?
This is called Traffic. It was it came out a number of years ago with Michael Douglas is in it. Benicio del Toro, though, plays this Mexican police officer. It's told from two points of view, from the American side. And Don Cheadle is in it. It's fantastic. It's really great. It's a great movie. I recommend it.
And who was the director?
Steven...
Spielberg.
No. Sondberg?
Sondheim.
Steven Sondheim.
He's a music guy, isn't he?
Oh, speaking of that, you were going to conclude your story on Can We Get...
Oh, yeah, okay. But no, Steven Sonderberg, I guess is his name. I'm sorry, folks, I can't remember. But I would recommend that you get it and watch it. and then throw it away. I'm kidding. No, you'll enjoy it. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So make a long story short, there we were in the hotel with Foreigners Road Crew and a bunch of Baptists, and they were playing Can We Gather at the River, and somebody stuffed a $5 bill into the brandy snifter on top of the piano and said, keep playing what you're playing. Steven Soderbergh, thank you very much, Dan.
Well, what do you mean, thank you, Dan? I'm the one that...
You didn't come up with it. You're giving me Steven Sondheim.
Yeah, but we were thinking about it.
I thought that was a made-up name.
What?
Steven Soderbergh sounded like Steven...
Yeah, I thought it was like Steven Sourdough.
Yeah, me too.
No, it's Steven Soderbergh, and he's the one that directed it, and he's a hell of a director. All right. Steven Sourdough.
That's what it looked like to me. So anyway, Phil, that spiritual, can we gather at the river, the beautiful do-do-do-do-do, you know that song, right?
Yeah.
That is an old spiritual that they played in church.
I know.
Well, yes, you say you know because you were at a Baptist convention, but did you hear it in church? Did you?
No, but I mean, I know that that was a spiritual from church.
But you didn't hear it in the church. You heard it in a bar. You heard it in a bar room.
Yeah, you're there like in a bar.
In a bar room.
In a bar. In a bar room. Yes, I understand.
Are you? Don't listen to them. Listen to me. So the point I'm making is you never got it in its original... I don't know, packaging, if you want to call it that. So it goes like this, if I may.
Go ahead.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two. One. No, I messed it up. Hold on. A one and a two and a one. Can we gather at the river? La, 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 la. La, 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 la. That song.
You know, I might as well just listen to him singing it in the bar, because...
Yeah, probably better than that.
Pardon me for just one moment.
What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, that got it.
Don't you ever make fun of my singing again.
Woo! That stings.
What do you got to belt him for?
What do I... He's sitting there going, la-ha-ha-ha. I won't sit still for it. I won't stand for it. No one, and I mean no one, makes fun of my singing.
No one was making fun, Margaret, but when you're going to sit there and go, la, 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 what's the point?
I do a minimalist kind of singing, so I give you the essence, and the real beauty comes through the harmony. So, for instance, can we gather at the river, la, 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 ha, 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 hoo, hoo, hoo. You see what I mean? You don't need the lyrics.
That sounds very beautiful, Ms. Grant.
You're lying.
Well,
he's trying to tell the truth. After you belt him, and why are you taking off your high heel?
I'm getting it ready.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. When we come back here, more on the gravity probes that crashed into the moon's surface and the other news stories that we said we would do that we haven't done yet. Whichever ones those are.
Celebrity hacker.
Oh, celebrity hacker gets 10 years in prison. Woo! That's rough, man. We'll find out about that guy. When we come back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The beautiful, beautiful river.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, one thing that we haven't properly mocked or referenced in a disparaging manner, one thing we have not properly and I think thoroughly rended from one edge to the next, one thing that we have not properly discredited and befouled with our rapier-like wit, and that is, of course, the so-called end of the world. There's nothing like end-of-the-world fear. I love it. I love it no end. Because you can really mess with people's minds. And when you are able to mess with somebody's mind about the end of the world, it gives you a lot of information on that person. And I don't think it's sadistic.
I think it is, Phil. There are a lot of people that worry about that.
No, no, no. Let me tell you something. People that are obsessing about the end of the world, there's something wrong with them, and we might as well know who they are. You know, we're talking about all this stuff about how do we identify whack jobs and crazies and weird asses and people that are too preoccupied with this, that, or something else. I think the time is now, man.
Well, you don't throw them in jail or something.
No, but I'm just going to say this. If you are really worried about the end of the world, there's something wrong with you, and you need a doctor. Or you need some anxiety medication, or, you know, there's an issue that is not being dealt with. And when that obsession with the end of the world begins to affect your own work, your own relationships, your relationships with other people, now it isn't just a matter of, well, you know, there's Charlie and he's got some goofy idea the world's going to end. Now you become a pain in the ass to the rest of the community. And then, of course, this happens. Then that person who believes the end of the world is coming, who's also becoming a pain in the ass to everybody else, he starts talking about how his rights, he's got a right to this, he's got a right to that. You got a right to a lot of things. You don't have a right to expect some sort of special consideration or to disrupt the normal ebb and the flow of daily business because you think this, that, or something else. That's why these groups that are quasi-religious who believe in the doomsday, they really are a pain in the ass because they wear as their cloak the validity of religion and God. And if you criticize them, then you must hate God. So there's all kinds of seriously, seriously demented people out there. This doomsday, this Mayan thing, for the most part, it's a big joke, and people see it as such and laugh their ass off. But there's a handful of people. They're for real, man. And if I regret anything, I regret this, and I'll regret it till the day I die, that I didn't open up a survival shop and start selling sleeping bags and canteens and hats and bulletproof vests at a big, big markup.
Yay!
That's true.
Absolutely.
Very good, Mr. Henry.
Well, why are you applauding? I didn't do it. I should have done it.
Yeah, but at least you recognize it.
Oh, my God. Right there in front of us was an opportunity to pocket, you know, a few hundred grand, but did we do it? No, we didn't do it. We were too busy laughing at all these jack... I could have made a couple of dollars off of these clowns.
Do you know anybody that did?
I don't know anyone. I made a joke. I said, you know, my family's in the survival gear business. But no, I didn't. I don't know anyone. I mean, I know of people. I personally don't. Now, guess where this doomsday thing has reached its paranoid arm into? China. For members of a doomsday cult in China, the end may indeed be near, but that's only because the Chinese man, I'm going to pop you and drop you down a hole.
Yeah, that's the Chinese Harvey Keitel.
If he laughs like that one more time, I drive this long fingernail into an eye.
Shut up!
Don't talk that way, Margaret. For members of the Doomsday Cult in China, the end may indeed be near. Authorities have in recent weeks arrested more than 100 members of a fringe Chinese-inspired, Christian-inspired group known as Almighty God that is prophesying the world will end December 21st, according to state media. Members of the group have been distributing apocalyptic literature and sending text messages throughout China when the government began detaining them that month. On December the 8th, police arrested 34 members in Fujian province, which lies on China's southeastern coast. On Thursday, they arrested 37 members, including seven leaders in Jiangying, a city in west... I used to know how to pronounce these towns.
Well, you were there, so how do you pronounce that?
I would call that Jiangning.
Why? It says X-A.
I would say that Jiangning, a city in west-central province of Genghao.
Well, you're just guessing.
I'm guessing based upon how I have heard it pronounced or how I've heard the Chinese people pronounce things. Anyway, there have also been arrests in Sichuan.
That's the name of Sichuan chicken.
That's how you pronounce it.
That's not Sichuan. That's S-I-C-H-U-A-N.
Yeah, Sichuan. And Hubei or Ubai, Hubei or Hubei.
I don't know. Who does?
God, I want to hurt him.
Easy. What is it with you guys now?
That's not Sichuan. It's spelled with a Z.
Oh, is that right? Is that because that's what it says on the menu?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Maybe they don't spell it like that in China.
Phil, I think it's very convenient for you to say that, but until you have some proof, Sichuan is spelled with a Z. I would bet... Well...
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Look it up, bud. You look it up, and we'll find out. But I think that that's how Szechuan is pronounced. And by the way, I love Szechuan chicken and everything hot and spicy on the menu. Thank you. December 21st is approaching, and on that day, half of the world's good people will die, and all evil people will die out. Only if you join the Almighty God movement can you avoid death and be saved, warned a pamphlet confiscated by police in Shaoxing City in the eastern province of Zhejiang, and quoted by state media. A text message predicted great tsunamis and earthquakes are about to happen around the world. Perhaps more threatening to the Chinese government, the group has urged followers to wage war on what it called the Big Red Dragon, referring to the Communist Party. All right. So that's where they're really busting down.
Well, you don't... Yes, but they don't want them to spread panic. You've got millions and billions, Phil, of people over there. And if panic breaks out, and you've got this kind of panic in a country like that...
Well, there's a lot of people doing what?
Well, they're barely going to panic.
You've got billions of Chinese, and if for whatever reason they panic, my God, may God have mercy on your soul.
Well, what's going to happen, Margaret? What do you mean panic? You've got Americans that are going to do the same thing.
We don't have as many people, hello. If our people panic, I hate to say this, but if our people panic, the police can contain it with riot guns and things like that. But if the Chinese panic... They will be on you, they will swarm you before the officer is able to get the... Before he's able to unholster his weapon.
What the hell are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking... You're the one reading the story.
What are you talking about, they're going to swarm him?
The Chinese have got a billion people, right?
I'm talking to her.
No, listen, Bud knows.
The Chinese got a billion people, right?
Yes, a little over a billion.
Over a billion? So they've been adding to it, right?
Yes, they've been adding to it. Hold on, we got to take a break.
The Chinese, if they panic, they'll be on you like white on rice.
That's a good one, man.
Hold on for a minute.
Wait a minute, I didn't mean it.
Yeah! Ah! Ah!
Yeah, how's that feel, huh?
Yeah!
That's the same one you got last week.
Oh, sorry.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Listen to me. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Try to make a point, and you're kicking him in the...
The gonadal.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here. What do you got, Margaret?
Well, this is what Dan was talking about because of the gold rush. That you were talking about the gold in San Francisco?
Well, we were talking during a break. We were talking about... I want to get back to the Chinese doomsday and these other stories that we have. I don't want to get sidetracked, okay?
Fine, Phil. I brought up Johnny Horton's North to Alaska.
What's that about?
About the gold rush.
No, the gold rush was California.
There were a lot of gold rushes, bud.
There were a lot of them, you idiot.
Call me an idiot.
Do you want another one? Do you want the other? You said I got the same one twice. Never mind.
God, talk much?
Okay.
Wow!
All right, here we go. Way up north to Alaska, I go north rushes on. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92. With George Pratt, his brother, and partner Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza. Oh, this isn't the song I was thinking of.
What song were you thinking of?
In 1814, we took a little trip.
That's the one about... We've been through this before.
Yeah, Miss Gray, that's the one about New Orleans.
Shut up and don't breathe on me. I'm talking to Phil. How many times do I have to tell you, Phil?
Oh, you're not getting it right. North to Alaska is one song. The New Orleans thing that you're singing is different.
In 1814, we took a little trip.
Yeah, along with Colonel Jackson.
Yeah, along with Colonel Jackson where?
Down the mighty Mississippi.
Oh, sure. That's how the words go. Oh, baby.
I'm pretty sure Phil's right.
Well, that's not good enough for me, Bud, you being pretty sure about anything. If you were pretty sure the moon was solid and could be landed on, I'd swear to Almighty God that any craft... Well, never mind. You keep on laughing, funny boy.
Mr. Henry, I think that she might have a north to Alaska.
Will you forget about north to Alaska and all this stuff, man? I'm trying to get to the meat of the matter, if you'll pardon the expression, Margaret.
Don't look at me when you say meat as if I'm going to start...
jumping for joy. Aren't you going to hit me?
No, I'm saving it up.
All right, so anyway, getting back to the Chinese Doomsday, December 21st is approaching, and so the Chinese Doomsday Group is scaring the hell out of everybody, saying that the world is ending. And as I said to Dan, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about the Doomsday supplies, the end-of-the-world supplies, and how we could have made a fortune. We could have made a fortune selling Doomsday supplies to these schmucks that think the world's coming to an end. But did we? No. So I'm no smarter than those guys.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. You can sit around and make fun of them, or you can go ahead and make hay while the sun shines. Now, as we were saying, the guys that made all the money during the gold rush in California, and I dare say in Alaska, were not guys that found gold. They were the ones that were selling the supplies. You see this story time and again. It repeats itself over and over and over in all of the history of the period that you read. The guys that made the big money were the guys that opened up these shops that sold shovels, that sold panning supplies, and so forth.
Who's that general you said about?
General Sherman, General William Tecumseh Sherman, who later made his name in the Civil War, was stationed in Northern California. He was stationed in Monterey, which was where that was the capital of the state at that time, and there was a military installation of some U.S. Army installation, and General Sherman would ride into what in those days was called Yerba Buena. Today we know it as...
Baltimore?
Baltimore. Well... California? Baltimore, California?
Eureka.
San Francisco. You ever heard of that place?
Well, you didn't say.
Well, where the hell do you think the freaking Baltimore? So anyway, Yerba Buena is where the good general opened up a shop. And I think within a couple of years, the name was changed to, or it became more commonly associated with San Francisco. But nonetheless, the good general opened up a supply store. And Sherman, not that anybody's interested in this, because this is a bunch of dorky history that only Phil knows, but hey, you know what? Somebody's got to talk about it, and like I care whether people find it interesting or not, it beats the hell out of Jawjack and the same school shooting story over and over and over and over and over again without coming to any conclusions about it. Now then.
Yay!
Don't applaud for that. I didn't like that.
Why?
It sounded cynical.
Whatever. So, anyway, Sherman made a lot of money that way, and he was very wealthy, one of the wealthier officers or ossifers in the United States Army, giving it the French pronunciation. So the Chinese government is concerned because this group of religious nuts in China are saying, beware the big red dragon. In Henan province, authorities said that the suspect held in a slashing attack that injured 23 school children Friday had acted under the influence of a doomsday belief. It was unclear, however, whether the authorities were linking the man to the same group. I just don't think that you're barking up the... I think what you have to do is you don't attack the symbol of a person, the symbol that a person uses in their psychosis. You go for the person who has the psychosis. You know, crazy people use the society and the culture that they live in as a symbol for a lot of things. If you want to start criticizing, something that a nut uses and justifies his nut-like acts with, then you're going to have to take down God, Jesus, Napoleon, you name it, Major League Baseball. I mean, these crazy fools use any and all as a way of justifying their psychotic behavior, if indeed they're psychotic, or in the case of a sociopath, he lies about it. What he really wanted to do was just go and kill everybody, because he wants to kill everybody, and he'll use some bullcrap excuse, you know. But this kid that they're talking about, this Lanza kid, and the mother, man, I'm telling you, Are you kidding me or something? That's about as goofy a situation as I ever heard of in my life.
Well, was she a survivalist? What was the story there?
She had weapons. Apparently she taught the kid how to shoot. She was getting 21 G's a month in child support. Okay, not a problem. I mean, she's in, you know, the law says in every state that I know of that the child is entitled to a lifestyle commensurate with the earnings of the, you know, of the providing parent. So if the father's making a lot of money, then that child is entitled to a lifestyle that is, or entitled to, you know, support commensurate with that. So that dad, I think he's making close to $500,000 a year. And he also was paying for the boy's education and so forth. It sounded like a man who, you know, they'd worked out a settlement that was reasonable within the law. Anyway, now the kid's got access to these guns. He apparently is well known as he's got some social adaptability problem. They think it's Asperger's syndrome. I think I saw that mentioned. But there's an inability to socialize properly or correctly. There's an inability to relate properly, correctly. The kid's got, you know, he's got problems, and the people know this. Now, in the meantime, the mother's teaching this kid how to shoot, and how the kid and I understand, folks, if you have children, and you think that they are just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they're just so smart and wonderful and marvelous, and, oh, I would never lock my weapons up around my son. Why is that? Because I taught him how to shoot. Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Well, are you saying that she should have locked those weapons up? She trusted that that boy would do the right thing.
Well, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. The kid got those guns. First person he killed was her. And then went in and did what he did. I don't, you know, I'm not a genius, but I mean, I'm looking at this thing from just the distance of the Monday morning quarterback, because I don't know anything about it. And I'll tell you something else about Monday morning quarterbacking, by the way, folks. If it's professional football or sports, Monday morning quarterbacks are a dime a dozen, no question about it. But when it comes to these events, these unacceptably violent and vicious and sadistic and twisted events, hey, you know what? Yeah, you better believe I'm going to be a Monday morning quarterback. I didn't know this stuff was going to happen. People are dumping this crap in my lap, saying, okay, figure another one out. All right, well, I guess we're going to Monday morning quarterback it. And if people don't like it, you can stick it, because what choice have we got?
Well, don't Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, really? Well, I'd be happy to Friday morning quarterback, but nobody told me somebody was going to go nuts and do this. But this mother and this kid, and what the hell was she? She was an anarchist, survivalist, a teacher? What the hell is going on with this world? I know that there have been crazy people since the beginning of time. I understand that. But we've crossed a threshold where the insanity is now empowered with firearms. That's not cool. I know that there have been whack jobs since the days began. I know there have been goofy religious cults. There have been mothers and sons and fathers and daughters and weird-ass clans of every type. There's been Hatfields. There's been McCoys. There's been the real McCoys. There's been the fake McCoys. There's been every kind of McCoy. And they've all been people that we've had to deal with, but we've crossed a line somewhere where all of these nuts now regularly get their hands on guns and find it acceptable to go out and take people out with these guns. Can't do it. We can't do it. We can't allow it. It ain't going to happen anymore. And I'm speaking as a gun rights advocate.
Well, you've said that, Phil, but what is your solution?
My solution is the following. My solution is the following. I don't know. I mean, I've got a solution, but it's almost police state-like. I mean, I believe another database is needed, and I think it's a database of individuals who have been, and we're asking psychiatrists now to reveal their records. I don't know if they'd be willing to do it. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm willing to advocate that, but you know what? Forget it, man. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you got to talk about it. You bringing it up.
No, I don't have to talk about it. No, I don't. And I'm not going to talk about it. And I'm not going to do... No, this is not going to be another talk show talking about this. All right, we'll be right back. We did the Doomsday thing, and we've got some other stories. World Famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, the celebrity hacker story next on the World Famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the Phil Henry Show. Here is the, this kind of goes hand in hand with some other things that we've talked about on this show, both on the air and off the air. Celebrity hacker gets 10 years prison for email hack after stealing and posting private information from more than 50 celebrities, including Scarlett Johansson and Christina Aguilera. Christopher Chaney is sentenced to prison. The man targeted in Operation Hackerazzi is now behind bars. Christopher Chaney was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Monday by U.S. District Judge James Otero. Chaney pled guilty to hacking into dozens of celebrities' email accounts and posting their private information on the Internet. According to his, among his victims were Scarlett Johansson, Christina Aguilera, and Renee Olstead. It's hard to fathom the mindset of a person who would accomplish all of this, Otero said, according to the Associated Press. These types of crimes are as pernicious and serious as physical stalking. They're pretty weird. It takes a pretty messed up person to do something like this, but nonetheless, they need to have, they need to be stopped. And, in this case, this guy Chaney, a 35-year-old man from Jacksonville, was nabbed last year following an 11-month investigation that federal officials named Operation Hackerazzi. After the bust, Chaney initially pled not guilty, but he later struck a deal and ended up agreeing to 9 counts. Those counts included identity theft, wiretapping, and unauthorized access of protected computers. This guy got this private information by hacking into people's computers and then posting it online. So you'll see what these charges are. Identity theft, wiretapping, and unauthorized access of protected computers. He also agreed to surrender his computers, external drives, and cell phones. Now, according to the judge and others, this guy did not show any remorse. The judge says he believed Chaney would not control his behavior and showed a callous disregard for his actions. So that's that whole sociopathic thing, you know. These guys have a power, they have a sense that they're smarter than everybody else, and this is their way of controlling the world because in their real life they've got very little to no control. There's all kinds of stuff that's out of control out there that really pisses them off. And in the case of the guy that I mentioned on the air last week, I mentioned his username during our pre-shows, and I've also mentioned his username on Twitter and on Facebook. This guy, I happen to know, has a real control thing. That he's got a real idea. He has real specific ideas on how he wants things to be, and things ain't that way. So that's the way it is for these, especially anonymous hackers and anonymous people that need to be anonymous in order to maintain that illusion of power. More than 50 victims from the entertainment industry were connected with the case, but only a handful agreed to be identified by name with the hope of garnering awareness about online information theft. Chaney obtaining private emails and confidential documents, publicizing their personal information, sending photos to 2 celebrity websites. Some of the photos of Johansson were nude photos she took privately to send to her then-husband Ryan Reynolds. Chaney gained access to the accounts by using the Forget Your Password feature in their email accounts. He then would reset the passwords by answering security questions from public information he found by searching the web. According to his plea agreement, Chaney received thousands of emails from the victims' accounts. According to the Associated Press, Otero heard a videotaped statement from Johansson in which she said, "I've been truly humiliated and embarrassed. I find his actions perverted and reprehensible." Not that he cares, although he's going to be in prison for 10 years, and that might not be a fun ride, considering what just happened to, what's this kid's name? Cameron Douglas?
Do you talk about somebody beating him up?
I don't know. Celebrity inmates, even if they're guys like this, probably don't sit well with the rest of the inmate, shall we say, the rest of the spa guests. Cheney faces up to 60 years in prison, and prosecutors fought to get him at least 6. Otero ruled to give him 10 years because he believed Cheney would not control his actions and showed a callous disregard. There you go. He's a jackball. All right, there's that. And then there is this story about this. Now, this is going back to what we were talking about, but I just listen to this. A lady in California, she's in Boise, Idaho. The massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary has evoked memories of a similar one in Stockton. A mother's anguished account of her experience raising a mentally ill teenage son has been both praised and panned following the Newtown School massacre. Lisa Long penned her brutally raw blog post, Thinking the Unthinkable, on the day of the Connecticut school shooting, and it went viral, setting off an international debate about mental illness. She's comparing her own child to mass murderers in public, under her own name, on the internet, for the world to see. Her 13-year-old son. In her blog, the mother of four from Boise in the U.S. writes of her experience raising her brilliant but violent son, Michael, who she says terrifies me. While Long uses a pseudonym for her son in the post, she also includes a photograph of him on her blog. The anarchist soccer mom and his own identity is not disguised. Lisa Long's son. Long describes her son's violent episodes, including one incident when he flew into a murderous rage and threatened to kill her with a knife, alongside more tender moments when he is her calm, sweet boy. I'm sharing this story because I am Adam Lanza's mother. I am Dylan Klebold's and Eric Harris's mother. In the wake of another horrific national tragedy, it's easy to talk about guns, but it's time to talk about mental illness. Her words struck a nerve in the community and sparked a remarkable online outpouring of sympathy in the day after it was published, but those sentiments quickly turned sour, with some questioning her fitness to be a mother. Another blogger took Long to task for publicly discussing her son's problems and promoting him as a future mass murderer. How about that?
I think that is very weird. I think it's very irresponsible. Where are the doctors? Where are the medical authorities?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. I told you I had a friend of mine that was a nurse up at the University of Washington Hospital, and she would interview kids, troubled kids. She said she had kids coming through there that she wanted to give their DNA to the FBI as soon as they walked out.
What's that mean?
That she thought these kids were on their way to just a nice long life as Henry Lee Lucas times 3. That they were just another guy with a suitcase hitchhiking down a road, and the suitcase is full of body parts. All right.
Don't applaud that. That's disgusting.
Well, you know what I'm saying. All right, we're going to come back with our final hour on this whacked out Monday. I'm sorry, folks. It's just, I tried to stay away from the topic. I couldn't do it because it's everywhere I turn. It's everywhere I look. It's either that or Gangnam Style. That's PSY dude. That's Psy guy with his freaky shades and his whacked life. We'll be back with our final hour here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Excuse me.
Oh, that was great.
Saw this story about a cyclone hitting Fiji. What time of year is this? This is December. I was in Fiji in February, and it's one of the most spectacularly beautiful places I've ever been in my life. It may be the single most spectacularly beautiful place I've ever been, outside of some parts of Northern California, Hawaii. I mean, you know, you can pretty much guess. And there's probably places far more beautiful than those places I just mentioned. I haven't been to them though.
The most beautiful place that I've ever seen. That I've not been to, but in my mind, the Finland, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Finland is a place.
What do you mean, the Finland?
Yes, the Finland. There's the country Finland, but there's also the Fin... I forget what it's called.
The Finland?
The fjord.
The fjords?
Who are they?
I don't know.
I mean, who are they? Those are cliffs.
Yes, yes. The Finland fjords, yes. Now, I've never been there, but that's the most beautiful place I'm sure that I would be if I'd been there.
Okay, but you haven't been there.
No, but let me tell you the story. Very dear friends of mine, John and Mary, I forget her name now.
Margaret, are these very dear friends of yours?
They were very dear friends. I haven't had any contact with them in a long time. But they were. But they got married on a fjord in a fjord. I think that's the other way around.
I don't know what you just said.
No, she said that they got married on a Finland and fjord.
On a Finland and fjord. You got it wrong, because it's a fjord in Finland.
You're sure about that?
I would bet all the money I've got in the world.
Well, that's not a lot, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Well, you don't know how much money I've got. I bet everything that I've got and everything that you've got, bud, even though you think it's yours, I'll take it from you and bet it, and then I'll double your money for you. What do you think of that?
Sounds good to me.
And you're sure it's a Finland fjord?
Margaret, don't... Come on. A fjord is a cliff in the country of Finland. So that's the most beautiful place that you think you'd ever been if you'd been there.
If I'd been there, yes.
Okay. What's the most beautiful place you've been to that you've actually been to?
Oh, my God. That could be... It could be anywhere. The island of Crete. I think Greece. I think Cyprus. Crete, though, is breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking. Sardinia is gorgeous. Florence. I think the Mediterranean. I would vote for the Mediterranean. Just absolutely spectacularly gorgeous.
When were you there?
I haven't been there in... I don't think I've ever been there. No, I have. I have.
Well, I know you're in Italy. You're reporting on the Iraq war in Italy. I don't think I've ever been there. I'm talking about where you've been.
Yes, I've been there.
In Italy?
Yes.
What about Crete and all those places?
Crete. Where is that?
Oh, you know, never mind.
Phil, I'm joking with you. Can't you take a joke? You're always joking with people.
So you've been to Crete?
No. I've been to Cyprus.
Where have you been, okay?
Don't raise your voice with me, Phil.
Where have you been?
Please, don't raise your voice.
Where have you been?
I've been to Cyprus. I've been to Italy. And I've been to Crete.
You just said that you'd never been there.
You said you were never in Crete.
Well, I lied.
Where am I, folks? Because I thought I was on the planet Earth, you know?
You know, you're the only one that gets to joke with people. When I joke, everyone's all serious, like you want to break out the SWAT team. And all I've got left is one round, and I go out by my own hand. I mean, that's...
Margaret, don't ever make a joke like that again.
I'm not joking. That's what you're forcing me into.
Don't even say that then, okay? On the heels of what we've just all lived through.
Phil, I'm saying...
I don't care what you're saying. I'm not interested in what you're saying. Don't ever say that.
Fine, I'm going to the toilet.
You gonna throw up?
No, I'm gonna have a bowel movement.
God!
Well, you asked for it.
God!
You did ask for it. All right, well, welcome back here, folks, to the show. Let's see, it's only about 9 minutes into the hour. That was one of the quicker ways of introducing our show, reintroducing, resetting the table, as they like to say in some venues, of the Phil Henry Show. Now, big news, not big news, but big news in our neighborhood. Twin NASA spacecraft built in Colorado crashed into the surface of the moon Monday at 3:29 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and about 3 kilometers apart after completing a relatively brief but successful mission. Why are they saying they were built in Colorado? Because this story is from the Denver Post. And they're taking a bit of regional pride, and who can blame them? The probe's mission objective was to obtain a gravity map of the moon in unprecedented detail, said Kevin Cuddy, spacecraft team system lead with Lockheed Martin in Waterton Canyon. The mission has produced the highest resolution of any planetary body to date. Lockheed Martin workers in Colorado designed, built, and operated the two craft named Ebb and Flow. under NASA's $500 million Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, or GRAIL, program. A key finding the probes made is that the moon's crust is not as thick as originally thought and comparable to the Earth's crust. That supports models that the moon originated out of an impact with the Earth rather than being captured by it, said Mark Weiseroke, GRAIL co-investigator, in a statement.
What's that mean?
It means that the moon was part of the Earth at one time, as opposed to just another independent body in space that the Earth's gravity captured and captured in its gravitational pull and thus began this orbiting thing.
Yeah, but I mean, so that must have been way bigger.
Yeah, the Earth probably was a lot bigger, and who knows what the Earth was like. If you ever really want to flip out, if you really want to just kind of, like, you know, lose your mind, take a look at a map of the Earth, you know, millions and billions, like 2 billion years ago. It doesn't even look like...
What are you talking about?
It doesn't look like the Earth, man. It's got... The continents are all wrong. I don't think there's any water, or if there is, it's very small.
You talk about the planet we live on.
The planet we live on now, the continent shape that we see on a map was not always that way. India was part of Africa, and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things. They've often said that if you look at the map of the Earth, if you see the continents, you can see... It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You can see where parts of one continent fit in with another. And that indeed is how it was. As the Earth, the tectonic plates shifted over millions and millions of years. The reason why we have the Himalayas. Do you know why there's such a thing as the Himalayas?
God made it.
Yeah, well, no, God made it, man. He's asking why.
Because God made it the way that he was going to make it.
That is so childish of you. I'm back, by the way.
Thank you.
And I had to use the toilet paper I brought from home.
Well, we'll get some more tomorrow, Ms. Gray.
Thank you.
So...
What are you rolling your eyes for?
Just the way you love to announce how you're back and you just had to use toilet paper. It's a marvelous thing.
You know, you're kind of a lightweight, Phil, for a rough, tough guy, aren't you? You're all macho, but when it comes to a simple bowel movement, you're very...
Okay, do we have to talk about that?
Excuse me for living.
You know, nobody's got anything against you living, Margaret. You talking about your...
bowel movement.
God, Ms. Gray, you're not allowed to say that on account of FCC.
The FCC... I want to meet the FCC commissioner that's going to fine me for asking very sweetly and innocently, is there any toilet paper because I'm in here, and if there isn't any...
All right, Margaret, we understand. Yes, you're right. Okay, fine. Can I now move on? So, now I forgot what I was saying.
You're talking about the Earth. Planet Earth.
I know I was talking about the planet Earth. In any event, the world has changed. Now, the probe's mission objective was to obtain a gravity map of the moon in unprecedented detail. Lockheed Martin workers in Colorado designed and built Ebb and Flow. A key finding the probes made is that the moon's crust is not as thick as originally thought. The two craft, about the size of washing machines, traveled at a synchronized distance from each other with equipment that would measure minute fluctuations resulting when they encountered changes in the gravitational pull. By May, they had completed their initial mission with enough fuel to start a second run, which they did at the end of August. They did this at a lower altitude of 14 miles. So these probes that we had sent up to the moon, we sent to track the gravitational pull, to measure the gravitational pull of the moon.
And why would it be different from one place to the next?
The magnetic field of the moon or the magnetic gravitational field, it changes like it does here on Earth. We have a stronger and not so strong areas of gravity here on Earth. That's a very layman's read on this thing.
You're not sure?
I wouldn't want to be quoted, but that's what I think.
Well, we should get a doctor. What about Dr. Tarner?
That's not about a bud.
What?
Are you listening? Get Dr. Tarner on the phone, will you?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning there. He's going to flip out.
Get him on the phone.
All right.
Just ask why. Just get him, okay? He's probably up. He's always at that freaking thing.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, I get Mountain Meadow. Yeah, Directory Assistance, Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverton, Colorado. Yeah, I'll hold.
Okay, do you got to do everything at the top of your lungs?
It's trying to be heard because you're doing a show.
So Ebb and Flow.
Yeah, I'll hold.
Ebb and Flow built at the foot of the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, Dr. Turner? Yeah, Bud Dickman. Yeah, yeah, how's it going? Hey, hey, listen,
give me the phone. Dr. Turner, hi, Phil Hendry. Can we go on the air with you? On the air right now? You've got company? Yeah, we are on the air. I did mention that. It's your son. Okay, I'll tell people it's your... I mean, yeah, oh, your son's visiting. Uh-huh. They did hear me say, I'll tell people. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a bad day. What happened? Well, look, we got to go on the air, Doc. If you don't mind, we can talk about this on the air. Yeah, we can talk about it on the air. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us here, folks, from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And I apologize, Doc, that we're getting you on here. We just wanted to talk about gravitational pull.
Well, Phil, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I told you that I have company, and if my son is visiting. Oh, they already know it isn't my son. Is that it?
Well,
They heard me instruct you to say it was my son.
I'm afraid I gave it away.
Oh, God. You understand that I'm having a big dispute with my son's mother, my ex-wife, and if she gets hint of the fact that I've got a girlfriend here tonight... Go to bed, Josh. Go to bed. I'm on the radio with Mr. Henry. Go to bed.
I apologize.
You know, I don't mind you calling in the middle of the night. I don't mind you banging on the door in the middle of the night, as you have done.
When did I ever bang on the door of your house in the middle of the night?
You don't remember when you were here... In Denver, it was that, what was it, a radio programming convention? Do you want me to go on? I could smell the fumes from the front door.
All right, yes, I do remember. All right, Doc, look, all I want to ask you about is gravitational pull.
All right.
We're talking about the moon probes, the Grail.
Yes, they crashed those. That was here in Colorado where those were made.
I understand that. That's what we saw here. Lockheed Martin there in Colorado.
That is absolutely correct. I know the team that worked on it. They did a very good job. Not a great job, but a good job.
What do you think they could have done better?
Well, I think they could have done everything better. I don't think that when you're talking about going into outer space, and in this instance we're going to the moon, you're not talking about something that it's not an esoteric or exotic trip. We've done it before. You understand? We've done it before. So going to the moon... a second time, I'd like to see us hit it out of the park and do some real interesting things. Instead, they orbited these two small washing machine-sized craft that registered and measured the gravitational pull. What did I just hear?
That's my engineer. We have to break.
All right. Would you not have him say that in my ear?
I apologize. He said it to me. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yeah, tell him not to say it in my ear.
He heard you. Thanks, Dan. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's a recording.
Well, who's talking? Who am I talking to?
You know, we really need to... One of the problems that we have is we've allowed ourselves to have a discourse and a dialogue in this society, which is, you know, we're free to do whatever the hell we want to do, but we entertain and what is the word? We give credence to imbeciles. You know, we let idiots with their crazy ideas about life take center stage and proffer their philosophies. And we sit there and we nod and we go, well, thank you very much, Charlie. Wasn't that really interesting? And we roll our eyes, right? Like people who think that if we crash something into the moon, we're going to change the orbit of the moon, you know?
You don't think that's possible?
No, I don't. Now, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things. And I think we got to get back. We got to get our feet back on the ground around here, man. This survivalist stuff. If you are so intent on surviving... that you got all these guns and all this canned food and all this stuff, man, I'd rather just die, you know, than live like that. I don't know what's coming, But to run away from whatever's coming and live in a hole in the ground with your canned goods, I wouldn't live like that for love or money, man. I'd rather go up in flames in whatever battle royal is about to take place.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes, I'm serious. I get so sick and tired of listening to people. People hang on to life. You know, life is a precious thing. There's no question about it. But it's not worth hanging on to if you sacrifice your self-respect, your self-esteem, your care and concern for your neighbors, your love of your country. Some of these survivalists are the most gutless bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Rather than fight for the survival of the nation and to try to make the nation, you know, get back on a, if they think things are going so wrong. And these people, I'll tell you something else about them. They think they're right. Oh, they're right. They're just, you can't talk them out of it. You know, they're absolutely right that this is that and that's this. And when you make them look like a complete and utter ass, as is done regularly, they just, you know, go right back to whatever it is they're doing. Like, I we were listening to some tapes for our podcast, and I heard our show not too long ago. It was right after Y2K. And listening to the people justifying being stupid, which is what they were, people that were loading up on canned goods and loading up on all this stuff because Y2K was going to mean the end of civilization as we know it. And then when it didn't happen and you went back and you talked to those people, oh, well, I better be safe than sorry. Safe than sorry? What are you being safe from? Something that wasn't going to happen? Why, you read a book? I talked to the experts myself. I talked to the people that were handling the computers, that were handling all of the credit systems, the credit card systems, how they were reading the data off of cards, because that was the thing that people were worried about. You're going to put a credit card into a machine that can only read as far as 00, and you've got a credit card that says, you know, a 12 on it. What's going to happen? It's going to crash the whole system. No. So, you know, we just love all this horse dung. I was watching a thing. You remember this thing about how all the dinosaurs died from a meteorite?
Yes, that's what they said.
Well, guess what? First of all, you know, we've had events here on Earth since humans have inhabited this planet. Forget about dinosaurs. We've had large things crash into the Earth that have caused explosions as big as atomic bomb blasts. The most recent being the event in Russia back at the turn of the 20th century. And we talked about it, remember?
Yeah, you said that was like a comet or something.
Well, whatever it was, man, it was a blast that was heard by people in all directions. It was seen by some people. And in point of fact, when they finally got in and hiked in, it took them 10 years. 10 years, because we're talking about a people, tribal people, that were absolutely stunned and didn't have a whole lot of contact with the outside world anyway, and the word began to filter back toward the civilized world that, oh, this large event took place. Well, what was it? Well, it was an explosion. Did you hear it? Yeah, and I talked to a guy who heard it, and like, geez. So finally, some scientists from Moscow hike into this area, and they find thousands of square miles of flattened forest. Flat.
Well, it wasn't blown up.
It was not blown up. It was flattened. So what was that? That was an explosion above the Earth's surface. Now, the point that I'm trying to make here is we have had all kinds of explosions that if they wiped out the dinosaurs, one meteor hitting somewhere in the neighborhood of the Gulf of Mexico, I believe, is where they said it took place, and that kicked up enough dust and enough explosive power and set fire to enough trees to kill off all the dinosaurs. Well, scientists are now thinking that one anew, and they're saying, guess what? That's a load of horse dung. Nothing is going to kill that many animals. Now they think, you know what they think it was?
What?
Disease. The dinosaurs made each other sick from the migratory patterns of these different animals. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, but a meteorite's way better to talk about.
Maybe, but still horse dung.
Phil Hendry.
world-famous Bill Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, you know,
what?
Well, that's all I got to say about that, man. We had one other thing that we were going to talk about. I was actually getting tied up with a lot of entertainment news here that Dennis Leary was flipping out over the fact that Euclid, the first baseman for the New York Yankees, used to play for the Boston Red Sox. He thought that was amazing that the guy's Jewish. I don't know. In other words, the non-news...
Well, what was the Matt Lauer thing you were reading?
Matt Lauer apparently asked a, quote, tough question. I couldn't see it. Anne Hathaway, when she got out of a car for the premiere of Les Miserables in New York, I think, apparently her bra malfunctioned, or so you saw her breast or you saw her nipple or something. And apparently this is what passes for a tough question among Anne Hathaway fans when... He said to her, "We've seen a lot of you lately," Lauer quipped.
That's supposed to be a tough question?
Yeah, I don't understand. And this gets back to what I was talking about a couple of years ago, manufactured news, you know. Isn't there enough stuff happening, man, where I don't have to, if I'm looking for something, there's got to be enough happening where I don't have to find something that you guys at Fox News or CNN or anywhere else manufactured? Anne Hathaway... So you know, her bra malfunction. I mean, dude, that is so boring. And I got to tell you, I there's a lot of guys I think that are out there in the world, and maybe women too, I don't know, who are, you know, searching for nude pictures of this celebrity or that celebrity. Now, I don't think you guys that do that have ever really seen a naked woman, not up close and personal anyway. That gets back to that whole Asperger's thing.
What do you mean ass?
Not ass, Asperger's.
Well, what does that mean? They're so socially inept, they've never seen a naked woman.
Exactly. And so they go online and they think it's a big deal to... I think that stuff is being it's being traded by a lot of socially retarded, and I use that word in the very strictest definition, not in the pejorative, but seriously, if you want, we can say socially maladjusted individuals that you've ever seen in your life. Do you, and I'm being honest with you, I like the way a naked woman looks, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a celebrity. I don't know that there's anything all that special about that.
Well, you don't think, for instance, if you had the choice between a nude, well, I...
It wouldn't matter to me. I'm telling you right now. Now, if you say, well, Playboy magazine this month is featuring a naked, even if they said that they'd gotten Scarlett Johansson to agree to a full...
Like, if they said they had Scarlett Johansson for a full lo-fi spread.
What does that mean, a full lo-fi spread?
That is filthy.
Well,
I don't even know that it's filthy. What does that mean?
Well, I think you know.
No, I don't know.
Just real low fidelity.
Yeah, I think he's talking about, like, you know...
Are you talking about early morning? Well, you...
What? Ow! Oh! Whoa!
Early morning what?
Do.
Oh, would you people grow up?
That's what he was... I didn't do it. He did.
Woo!
You know, you're going to keep hitting him, man. He's going to charge you with assault.
I never touched him.
In any event, so it goes. And now this Anne Hathaway thing, she gets out of a limo and somebody gets a picture of her and there's nipple. Okay, that's, you know, pretty cool, I guess. Am I going on a mad search for it? No. Is it because I don't necessarily think she's beautiful? No. It's got nothing to do with that. I barely know who she is, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. It was somebody that I knew who it was. The only person that I would say it's worth looking up to see nude would be someone like you saw every day, like a news anchor or something.
Like who? Like Ann Curry? Frank said to me that he has the same opinion of nude celebrities as you. But he did say if he knew where he could get his hands on a nude Ann Curry shot, I think he used that phrase. What do you use, bud?
What?
What's the phrase you use? All over it?
All over it like white on rice.
Yes.
Frank would be all over an Ann Curry nude shot like white on rice.
Yes, because she's part Asian. And that was his point, I guess.
Is that a joke?
I think so.
He'd be all over a nude shot of Ann Curry like white on rice, and he said white on rice because she's Asian?
I think so, yeah.
Is that funny to you?
Well, it's not funny, but it's frank. You know, we have a saying in our house. Even Jason J. Delmonico says it, and he calls him Dad, but he'll say, it isn't funny, but it is frank.
It isn't funny, but it is frank, which means it's sort of funny.
No, most of the time it means it's weird or sadistic or sick.
It's not funny, but it's frank.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you, Phil, I've been thinking of a book. Or one of those toilet tank books. I don't mean to be talking about the toilet so much.
Well, you do it every day.
And could you shut your mouth, please, before I really, really keep the ring turned around? So, why are you doing that?
There's a story you missed.
Bud, would you quit pointing at the chlamydia and syphilis story?
Come here.
No.
Come here.
Yeah! Oh, that hurt.
All right, so here is my point. It's not funny, but it's frank. He's weird. He's my husband. I forget what I was talking about.
Yeah, I did too. Boy, what a waste of time.
Well,
it's just a waste of time. All right, so, we were talking about the nude. Yeah, so the nude pictures, if Frank wants to see Ann Curry nude, he'd be all over it like white on rice. Good for him. I think that's probably what I was saying, though. I think people that are familiar. But I got to be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of this manufactured news, man, because I don't think there's anybody out there that gives a damn. I guarantee you. And yet, there we are, having to deal with this. All right. What other news do we have here that I wanted to talk to you guys about? Why you should probably stop eating wheat. The rest of this news is just funky. I think what's happened to me, and this whole weekend, as a matter of fact, has been destroyed by this story. I think we should have taken our vacation early. As a matter of fact, I just might, because this story that came out of Newtown just blew me away. And we on Friday night we were able to just keep it at arm's length, but it is so. And I believe that these things should be discussed at the level of the city council, the level of PTA meetings, at the level of the United States Congress, at the level of letters to our elected representatives, as well as the president. But what talk radio does to topics is, and it's done it to this one too, talk radio has turned it into a hot dog stand. That's what it is. It's not selling hot dogs. It's selling horror and mayhem and murder. And everybody line up to get a little piece of it as we sit here and we jawjack it.
You are biting the hand that feeds you, you know.
What hand that feeds me? Say that again.
Well, figuratively.
Yeah, uh-huh. I ain't getting fed by talk radio. I got news for you. Now, this format has been at the fore of making what happened on Friday into nothing more than a cotton candy stand where people can line up and get the latest cotton candy or hot dog or whatever. That's what this topic is. That's what all of these topics in talk radio turn into. To make this into a gun control issue shows, A, just how stupid the people are that are on the radio these days, myself, of course, excluded.
Of course.
B, it shows how off the point they are. If we're talking about little kids, then that should be the number one concern, not whether you get to hold on to your gun or not. And again, I'm going to keep reiterating this. I happen to be a gun rights advocate. And I have to keep saying that because some stupid clown's liable to write me an email saying, well, you people, you liberals, you wouldn't know a liberal, man. Guys that call me liberal wouldn't know a liberal if the guy came up and kicked him square in the you-know-what like Margaret's done to Bud twice tonight.
Yeah, on the same side, too.
All right. No. It's got nothing to do with your guns are going to be fine. Your guns will always be fine. We know that. What we don't know is this. We don't know that our kids are going to live. We don't know that our little kids are going to live. We don't know that our little 5-year-old kindergartners are going to go to school. I know your gun is going to be fine. You're going to have it. It's going to be there in the closet. It's going to be there in your house. It'll be there available for your kids to pick up and play with. I don't know. What do I know? I got no rights. I don't know what the hell is happening in your house when it comes to your guns. Nobody told me, Phil Hendry, Mr. Citizen. Yes, you can be assured that gun is locked up, Mr. I don't get to know that. I got to just take somebody's word for it. Now, this lady who got killed, the mother of this kid, she's dead. This kid had access to the weapons. Well, not only that, he butchers up God knows how many people, 26 people. He's dead. and we're supposed to sit here, and the first thing that I got to make sure I say is that your gun's okay. Your gun's okay, man. Nobody's going to take your gun. But you can't guarantee to me that my kid's going to be okay, my five-year-old kid. You can't guarantee to me that I'll even know where your gun is. Does your kid have it? Does your crazy, psychotic kid have it? I can't ask that question. Nobody's going to tell me anything about that because I don't have any rights when it comes to that. I'm supposed to trust that you got it together. All right, that's fine. I do, as a matter of fact. I do trust you. There's a problem, though. All it takes is one, just one nut, just one weird ass like this woman who's handed guns over to some kid with God knows what personality disorders, and the next thing you know, she's dead, he's dead, a whole bunch of other people are dead. Speaking of punishment, I just got one little newsflash for you. That kid killed himself, okay? Now, that's the death penalty, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that that's about as stringent a piece of punishment as you could possibly lay on somebody? Isn't that just about as bad as it gets? I mean, what kind of punishment, short of torturing people, but then constitutionally we can't do that any more than we can take people's guns away constitutionally. But all I'm asking for is some answers, and they've got to start coming from the gun community, because there's guys like me that have been sticking my neck out for a long time for gun owners. I've been out here talking about it after Aurora, after God knows how many other slaughterhouses took place. I was here on the radio along with a bunch of other dumbasses talking about how, you know, people have the right to their gun. And they do. I'm not arguing that. But the gun community now and the NRA right on top of it, you guys better start coming up with some answers real fast. Because if you think that keeping your mouth shut and holding onto your gun and just not saying anything is winning you any friends, brother, take a look at what's happened now. Take a look at a guy like me, a guy that was on your side. Now I'm turning around, I'm looking at you, and I'm saying, you better give us some help here. Because now we're talking about little, tiny children. So let's hear it. What's your idea? And if you say tougher penalties on criminals, man, I'm going to lose it. We're talking about after these people that do this stuff, they're not thinking about the consequences. These are sociopaths or psychotic people who are not thinking about consequences. They're thinking that this is going to solve their problems. They're thinking that this is the best thing they could do. They're thinking that the government doesn't know and the society doesn't know. You don't know. I don't know. They know what's best, and they know that what they're going to do is kill their mother, go and kill a bunch of kids, and they're going to be fine. This is about little kids, okay? It ain't about your gun, and it's not about gun rights. And I don't care, and I'm not going to talk about it. You're fine, you're safe, okay? But the little kids are not, see? The world is not. People's lives are not. The only thing that's safe tonight, the only thing I can be absolutely sure is safe, is your stinking gun. Good for you, okay? My gun's okay, too. I own a gun. I own a shotgun. It's fine. I got no fear that Obama's coming into my house to take it, okay? Like that dumbass I saw on that comment thread.
That guy's talking about Obama?
These people, Obama's been president for 4 years. This ass is saying, I wonder what rights Obama's going to take away from us. He's already been president for 4 years, dumbass. Your guns are still fine. When are you going to believe, okay, that this isn't all about Obama? That a lot of this has got to do with a country, a society that's got some problems, okay? So why don't you just get off your high horse and get into the fray, man? Get into the mix. Come on in for the big win, like the man said, you know.
Inside, every American is a gun control advocate screaming to get out.
Whatever. We'll be right back.
What's whatever mean? That's a very good point.
Oh, bullcrap. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. And more of this falderall. All right.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right. I'm just going to be happy. I'll be happy when Christmas week arrives. You know, we're taking a week off between Christmas and New Year's, and we may never return. I'm kidding, but
sounds good.
It sounds fantastic. You know, I'll tell you something that's got to change. Something's got to change in this particular format of talk radio. You know, I bring to this format what I have for the last 22 years, which is an entertainment style show. It's a theatrical thing that we do here. And I shouldn't even have to sit here and explain this to you, but we're so, our industry is so, you know, savaged and destroyed that, and by savaged, I don't mean Michael Savage, I mean absolutely savaged and destroyed by the people that run the business, that I have to explain to you what I do. But something's really got to change, because in my opinion, part of the problem is talk radio. And not because it's conservative, and not because it's liberal. That's got nothing to do with it. Because it's stupid. Because it's stupid. Not you aren't stupid, the listeners. I'm talking about the guys that are on the air. Now, it's one thing if you take a dumb guy like me, and I'm just trying to make people laugh. That's that. But it's another thing when you take a dumbass who thinks he's Mr. Conservative or Mr. America or Mr. Liberal or Mr. This or Mr. That, and he's going to tell you where it's at. Now what are you doing now, man? You are passing off some clown as a serious advocate or journalist. Half of these guys never even got out of high school. Half of them, I'll say it again, half of them never even got out of high school. They don't have any real entertainment value. They are, like I say, they're advocates or proponents or ideologues or whatever you want to call it. And they, you know, say the same thing that the next guy says. And what they've done is they have lent their voices to the ever-deepening pile of cow crap that it is that we wade through every day in this country to try to find some truth about certain things, you know. So I think the country's doing fine, but this is a guy you're listening to right now who knows a little something about what he's talking about. I'm talking about the industry that I'm in that you guys have mistakenly thought was some sort of a marvelous place to go to be informed and be given the lowdown on what's really happening in this country. I got news for you. You ain't learning anything. You are simply the recipients of garbage. You know, your ears or your brains, garbage cans, and a guy that's laying that all on you, sea to shining sea, he couldn't argue his way out of a wet paper bag if it really got down to it. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. And the only thing he's invested in is making sure that he maintains his, you know, whatever it is, his formatic persona, which is he's Mr. Conservative or he's Mr. Liberal or he's Mr. Independent. There's another one that I love. And even if he's wrong, man, you ain't never going to know it because he's just going to be what that is. And there's nothing that's happening of value at all. And it really hits home with me when the country suffers through something like this. And then I got to suffer not nearly as much as the people that have been through this horror, but as Americans, then we have to be treated to the cynical, this cynical parade of garbage called talk radio. It's just a parade of stupid, man.
Well, it's like once you ask mommy to give you another helping of dumb.
Exactly. Ask mommy to give you another helping of dumb this morning, because that's what it is, you know.
Well, you talk about giving another helping of dumb, who?
What?
You talking about who?
I'm talking about the talk show hosts that go to work every day in this country. Ask mommy to give you another helping of dumb.
What if they moved out?
Moved out from what?
From their house.
Well, then have their wives give them another helping of dumb. I don't know.
Phil, I think somebody ought to give you another helping of dumb.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm not supposed to say this stuff. Is that it? You notice we haven't had any guests on tonight. You know why?
Why?
I've told these guys I don't want any.
Yeah, Mr. Hall's called a couple times.
I don't care. I ain't going to talk to him. I don't want to talk to any of them. So you can go ahead and call me dumb if you want, but I know from where I speak. Thank you very much. By the way, a little bit of news here, which I think is rather important. A federal judge late on Monday dealt Apple a major blow in its landmark battle with Samsung, denying the company's request to ban U.S. sales of smartphones from the South Korean electronics giant. U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh rejected Apple's request, stating that the Cupertino, California computer maker has not been able to show that Samsung's actions support an injunction. See, Apple thinks they own everything, and they may. But right now, the judge ain't buying it. Apple believes that what Samsung's using is all patent protected, it's all copyright protected, and Samsung is getting away with blind, cold-blooded murder. We will keep you abreast of this, and maybe then again we won't. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft with me, Phil Henry. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for your each and every precious need, man. Just get over there and get yourself a backstage pass. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.